Hello fam, and welcome to another episode of the Barman's Barbecue, where we slay sacred cows, roast them, and serve them as they're hot.
This podcast is dedicated to Rachel Hedman, born in 1981, and she died in 2009, and she was such a great blogger, columnist, author, writer, preacher. She's a preacher, or whatever, she's my preacher.
Yeah, I guess so.
So today we'll be going through, what are we doing today?
It's her book, Inspire.
Yes, so we're going to look at all the quotes that touched us, and we're going to talk about them.
Yeah, my highlights.
The Bama's highlights. What are my own highlights? I'm not finished, but it's very likely that the Bama's highlights will be my highlights.
Like I said, first of all, Judas managed to die in two different ways. He hanged himself and then fell headlong onto the ground.
Yeah, I remember when someone asked this question, say which was it. Someone asked that he hung, then when he hung finishing, I fell headlong.
Oh, thunder fired the branch. Okay. Which other okay. Fairy tales are more than true. Not because they tell us that dragons exist, but because they tell us that dragons can be beaten.
Yeah, I love this one.
Yeah, so I really love it, yeah. And so for me, this is one of the ways I approach the scriptures now. Yeah. Like and even in Brian Zahn's book, When Everything Is on Fire, he talked about how we can read the Bible again like children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the essence of, let's say, many of the stories in the Bible, because of a lot of us, we have like that scientific approach of scripture. For instance, now we believe in a 6 day creation narrative.
Yeah, like Genesis 1 was 6 days.
Yeah, 6 days. But we don't read it as a myth, right? So, like again, so fairy tales are more than true. Not because, so if I say that the Bible is a tale, it's a story, it does not mean it's a lie. Right? So, drawing from this quote, it is more than true. Not because of, it says that God created the world in 6 days, right? Or not because of a serpent was talking to the woman, right? But rather, the possibility of we listening to parts of us that make us less than human, as it were. It's a problem.
Interesting. Interesting. So the other day I was seeing this in Bible for Normal People where they're explaining how did David kill Goliath, or was it the person that used his spear?
Yeah, that was really good. Yeah, so it was the NIV or one of those translations that there's a verse that says that David killed Goliath.
Mm-hmm.
But in the same book, there's another part that says that somebody else killed Goliath.
So I have this thing in my mind where I think when I have kids, I'll allow them read the Bible without me influencing their reading of the Bible so that they can come back and tell me what they think.
Yeah.
So the other day my friend was saying, I haven't checked. He was saying that in Noah's ark, they didn't actually say that all the animals should be in twos. They only said whether they're unclean animals. That's how he said it. I'm like, huh? But I've not been checked.
Okay. Yeah, what about the other one that said that Noah did not really preach to the people?
Do you get?
Yeah.
So they're very, I'm like, sometimes you go and check and you're like, okay, these people are right, but how did we for years go on preaching the other thing?
Yeah.
Because like the Tower of Babel, there's a part that said that originally the people had separate languages. Then when they started building the Babel, they now had one language.
Okay.
Then later they now went back to having. So I'm like, okay. So like Elijah, is it Elijah that went to the sky?
Yeah.
Then like they say he went with something that looked like a chariot of fire, not that it was a chariot of fire. I'm like, oh my. So it's, how do we just keep the details and we now go on preaching the same thing over and over and over? Is it that people are actually not sitting down and just reading? Or we're being taught to see what other people have seen?
I see, we don't sit in the way they are, we sit in the way we are.
We are, we've been taught to sit in. We're not being seen the way it is we are, because because sometimes we don't know who we are.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay. Another quote.
Another highlight.
Inspiration is better than magic. For as any artist will tell you, true inspiration comes not to the lucky or the charmed, but to the faithful. To the writer who shows up at her keyboard each morning, even when she's far too tired. To the guitarist whose fingers bleed after hours of practice. To the dancer who must first learn the traditional steps before she can freestyle with integrity. Inspiration is not about some disembodied, ethereal voice dictating words or notes to a catatonic host. It's a collaborative process, a holy give and take, a partnership between creator and creator.
Hey! So the part I like was, I was meant to hear creator and creation, but I hear creator and creator. Like,
yeah.
Hey!
Yeah, so I think so in this part, Rachel was talking about the inspiration of scripture. So the inspiration of scripture is not that God was dictating the Bible to Paul or anybody, right? But that a writer chose to write, right? And the creator and creator collaborating to produce something.
Yeah, remind me of the other quote, the one that said how the Bible was written by different people, different perspective.
Yeah. I think let me read this again. Inspiration is not about some disembodied ethereal voice dictating words or notes to a catatonic host.
Yeah.
It's a collaborative process, a holy give and take, a partnership between creator
and
creator. That's so good. So good. And this another one. If you are curious, you will never leave the text without learning something new.
True.
If you are persistent, you just might leave inspired.
Yeah, I know that one about curiosity, not just text, just life in general.
Oh, let me take it again. So like the paragraph before, God is still breathing. The Bible is both inspired and inspiring. Our job is to ready the sails and gather the embers, to discuss and debate, and like the biblical character Jacob, to wrestle with the mystery until God gives us a blessing. If you are curious, you will never leave the text without learning something new. If you are persistent, you just might leave inspired.
Mm.
Beautiful.
Is that why she called it inspired?
Yeah, I guess. Alright, another one. The question that Genesis is prepared to answer is whether Yahweh, the God of Israel, is worthy of worship.
I feel like that's the kind of thing you read that you see back in your life.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, I'll find it next. So you have to read everything in context. So please go get the book in your favorite bookstore. Or
online shop.
Let's see this one. God stoops from walking with Adam and Eve through the Garden of Eden to traveling with the liberated Hebrew slaves in the pillar of cloud and fire, to slipping into flesh and eating, laughing, suffering, healing, weeping, and dying among us as part of humanity. The God of Scripture stoops and stoops and stoops and stoops. At the heart of the gospel message is the story of a God who stoops to the point of death on a cross.
Yeah, I highlighted this one too. Why am I not reading my own? I highlighted this one too because this one just touched me.
And this reminds me of that one of the lies we believe about God, that God does not submit.
Yeah.
You know, so, but so we feel like, and again, takes me to another book by Paul Young, that Eve. And the book called titled Eve, and then when in the book Adonai, an eternal man, was giving Adam instructions to tend and keep the garden. So Adam then asked, "What if I don't keep the garden? If I don't do the work you asked me to do?" God was like, "If you do it, like there's nothing like it's not wrong per se, something like that. But you're doing it is a way of adoring us as we do adore you." Right? And I feel like it says, so for me, it blesses me to like read John, is it 13, where Jesus got himself a towel and washed the disciples' feet. You know, so where the God of the universe like is washing feet. I mean, like
there's this artist on Instagram that does this washing feet series where Jesus is washing different people's feet. It's so cute. There's one that touched me, the girl was on that phone.
Nice.
She was pressing for me just washing her feet. Like there's one that he was washing the feet of Kanye and Justin Bieber. So she used that to try to explain how most times we're like, at this point, not two Christians and two Christians, and you're like, what is true Christians and non-Christians. There's one where he's watching an immigrant's feet. It's just like this set of Jesus Washing Feet series that I read.
Yeah, I think that's genius.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah, and then so again, what's the power of God like? So the power of God is like Jesus washing feet. The power of God is like Jesus dying on the cross. For many of us, we don't see power. We feel like the powerful person is the one who uses military might, dominion. But you know, Bible says the strength is made perfect in our weakness. So it is when we are weak, then he is made strong. You know, and so with the concept of like marriage, and you know, the wife should submit or the husband should submit, and all those submission language. But if we understand that God is the God who submits. Right, and submission is like maybe a display of great power. Right, we all will be looking for ways to outdo one another in love, not to use or manipulate other people.
And I have at the heart of the gospel message, the spirit of the God, which is the point of death. I like it.
Okay, another one. Spiritual maturation requires untangling these stories, sorting facts from fiction, or more precisely, truth from untruth.
I highlighted that one too.
And embracing those stories that move us toward wholeness while rejecting or reinterpreting those that do harm.
I highlighted that one too.
Yeah. So when we read the scripture, if you see something that is...
Then there's this one I like, where memories are desirement rights and an online avast column. There are for people who have left legalistic religious backgrounds. Recently, a reader named Megan asked for advice on how to engage the Bible when it comes with so much baggage, when it tends to trigger more doubts than results. Zierman advised Megan to think of the Bible not as one of those magic eye books, which, with enough squinting and studying, reveal a single hidden image, but rather as a song that can be covered and remixed by a variety of artists. Find your cover artist. Find the voice that help you hear the same songs differently. People do write.
That this is really good. While Christians tend to turn to scripture to end the conversation, Jews turn to scripture to start a conversation.
Yeah, I like that one. I love it.
Yeah, so like it's not.
No, look at it.
Let me take that again in case you missed it. While Christians tend to turn to scripture to end the conversation, Jews turn to scripture to start a conversation. I feel like Bible study or let's say morning devotion, you know, it can be a really good conversation starter in the family. So like growing up, like I grew up with scripture. Every morning in our house, we do this morning devotion where we pick a verse of scripture, we read and, you know, wrestle with it.
And I've been in your house to observe those. And I think the beautiful thing about it is that everybody is allowed to bring their own perspective. It's not a Bible study where they are stuffing down the word of truth or you are using it for condemnation. As to how, if you don't obey your mother, your father.
As once I was sleeping, my mom came to wake me up to come and say, hey, you said that this did happen. Come and see Jesus. It's Jesus that said it.
And it's equal to the Bible study. While you're sleeping.
She was like, Jesus said that. Himself. You know, like, this was your eternal darkness. I said, I'm only Jesus.
I like the way she came on. Like, so it's not Paul, it's not Peter, it's Jesus himself.
I don't understand yet. I will read and get back to you on this.
And there's this one that they said, and I said, and I thought of it was really true. So like Hebrew scripture has a soft spot for scrappy underdogs.
Yeah,
it's true. That a lot of Bible stories are from grass to grave stories.
Yeah, like the slaves, like the Israelites were slaves, and they were redeemed. And
David was one boy in the background that came up. Joseph was the boy that started from house boy, grew up. Esther was one girl in the background, forgotten before she did it. This one came back from the war, and why?
Again, maybe just talk about the God who sides with the victim. God who identifies with the victim. Maybe I guess even the height of the gospel story is the God who dies on the cross.
I was about to say, but okay, Solomon's at the right. I remember Solomon's mother, the way they entered. I really like all these underdogs. Started from the bottom, now we're here. And there was a time in my life I used to think that You know, if you look at most of the great people, great pastors, great preachers, they still have this sad story of how maybe they came from abuse, or how like they came from foster homes, or how they were sinners in a dark place before God now brought them out. And I used to feel bad because I didn't have all those stories.
Yeah, you want to now go and find your own too.
And now, like, so is it that God is not going to, quote unquote, use me? Somebody even said, yes, that it'd be great, something, something comes great love. I like, so then this person loves God more than me. I used to feel bad those periods there.
I think two things I'd like us to jump on. One, the lie that we believe that God wants to use you.
Yeah.
Right, so maybe like, you've not heard it. God does not want to use you. I'm sorry.
Sorry.
Yeah.
God keep to use you.
Yeah, you're not a pencil in the hand.
Okay.
A child. Yeah, a son.
If anything, he wants to work together.
He wants to collaborate with you, right?
In divine dance.
Yeah.
Creator with creation, not creation
or pencil. I'm not a pencil, please. Then I was going to also say one thing about this point we're on.
But it also reminds me when some preachers used to say that most times the only thing is a great testimony when they're traveling and the bus stumbles.
Yeah. Okay, that's what I'm going to talk
about. We forget that the fact that the bus went from point A to B with no distance is also a great testimony of his own. So the fact that I don't have maybe jaga in my life, it's also a testimony as well, especially considering the country that I live in.
Yeah.
But I have jaga, but it's not as terrible, murky. You brought me out of the Mary clay. I know when people are crying when they're singing all those songs. I don't know how to cry because me, I do wish Mary clay did that come from. What would you get?
Just reminds me of I was in the church one Sunday like that, and then I said that if I stay in this church long enough, problem I did not have, I'm going to have it because of the church was there, like praying that you should not pray against every baby stuff. Like, I feel like the prayers, right, will create the problem and then deliver you from the problem
that they created,
right? Because of like usually how these manifestations happen, it's not just that is a bit of magic, right?
Yeah.
So when you, it's not just for you to confess, right? But your confession should go with the requisite emotions.
Yeah.
Right. That's how it sticks. I mean, like there's a podcast I listened to recently that talked about that's how to form lasting habits. That you should try and create the emotional signature while you are doing the habits.
Yeah, even NLP, right? If you're writing goals, write it together with the emotion that will come when those goals happen. So it happens there.
You know, so
they trick your mind. They say it's a way to trick your mind.
So in the church, I feel like so like Bella was saying, when you see someone come to testify about how they have cancer, how they had cancer, and God healed them. Before you know, you now start wanting to have cancer too, so that God will heal you too.
So that every small thing will just take it. This is a moment of healing.
Like this in me. You know.
Which reminds me of that other thing where Dr. Wu said, "Well, we want to professionally do the miracles, but that's not how we're meant to be.
Yeah, meant to live with the blessing.
And not in that they're always delivering us. Are you a problem child? I remember Dr. Wu saying, "Are you a problem child? Are you always at the depths when I'm all." You couldn't pay for this, so but money just came supernaturally.
Yeah,
that's not how to live life. You should always, you should be in the place where you want abundance, where you always have to give everything. Not that they nearly threw me out of the house. That's for sure.
Yeah, so that's not to speak ill of God's intervention.
So
we are happy that God intervenes.
Mm.
God comes through. However, you know, we ought to live. In a state of
And no story is greater than the other.
Yeah,
I believe that we're all stories, and how we interpret these stories are how we live our lives.
Talking about it, the next highlight is storytelling always has been and always will be one of humanity's greatest tools
for
survival.
True.
Yeah.
And yeah, then, I believe it. I feel like we've been telling stories. In fact, what is the world without stories?
And Poyong says that we are stories. Yeah.
We're all stories. That we're all languages. Yeah.
All the good stuff happens in obscurity.
Like behind the scene.
Yeah, so like I was telling so there's a Chris Green quote like I heard from that it was so the greatest thing God will do in your life, you will not know that God is doing it. And the greatest thing you will do for God, you will not know when you are doing it.
I like this quote. So maybe now I'm drinking tea. And I think these delicious cookies. And I think it's not spiritual enough. But it's making God happy. Because I'm happy.
You know? You know, so like, so like, wow, so God just happens to us, and yeah, so be relax. Yeah, let's just do maybe two more. Okay, this one. Belief in a cruel God makes a cruel man.
Yeah, because I mean, yeah, like if you talk of with people about parenting, and they'll be like, but God won't do that, so that's why I'm doing that.
Yeah, so in fact, this is what sin is. Unbelief, right? So rather, not like wrong belief about God, right? It's basically the creation of, it is the manifestation and the sustenance of sin. And the experience of unbelief is now what hell is. Hell is unbelief, according to Peter Heath, right? Or unbelief in what, right? Well, let's say falling short of a particular standard. Yeah, but yeah.
my own is sin is really something of your being.
Yeah, when the way of your being does not match the truth of your being.
Yes,
yeah.
Thanks, I'm going
to. Yeah. Then lastly, we don't become more spiritual by becoming less human. Eugene Peterson.
Loud this for the people in the back to hear. Please, brother, loud it again.
We don't become more spiritual. Let's just say we are doing church, you know, like, you know, when a preacher. We let's don't become more spiritual.
2:2. We don't become more spiritual.
Did you get that? We don't become more spiritual by becoming what?
Less human. Talk to your neighbor and say.
Yeah, we don't become so love. And I think it was when I read David Chilton's book, The Days of Vengeance, when he talked about.
I think there's another David Chilton book that he used to talk about it.
Paradise Restored?
No. Okay, don't worry, continue.
Yeah, so, but he talked about to many of us, and I think he was quoting Athanasius in that book too, of how we want to become. Basically spirit, we feel like being matter or material is
bad. Yeah,
and that reminds me of one sweet quote by John Crowder, that God is the greatest hedonist. Like,
I do not practice Gnostic dualism. I like that one. So big English, but English a lot.
Yeah.
We don't do Gnostic dualism here.
Yeah, so there's no separation.
There's
all of our lives are expressions of the goodness of God.
Yeah,
you know. Yeah, God is
God with us, God in us, God for us, God through us, everything. God is you,
God is
Bible.
God is at the center, and God is the circumference.
Yeah.
God is everything.
Who are you?
Is that you?
Okay, honestly, you're so smart. God is the center, and God is the circumference.
Yeah, so God is all in all, and God is not a God amongst other gods. God is the possibility that any other God exists.
No, there's something you posted. I took a screenshot where I said God is not the God amongst other gods or something. God is the mystery or something.
Okay,
look at it. I said on your status today, screenshot.
Yeah, then.
I've seen it.
Okay.
It's Ken, this.
Okay, yeah, okay, read it. End it. It's Father Kenneth Turner is a good guy to follow on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram.
The Jewish discovery that God is not a God but creator is the discovery of the absolute mystery behind the underpinning reality. Those who share it, either in its Judaic or its Christian form, are not monotheists who have reduced the number of gods to one. We have abolished the gods. There is only the mystery sustaining all that is. The mystery is unfathomable, but it is not as remote as the gods are remote. The gods live somewhere else, on Olympus or above the starry skies. The mystery is everywhere and always in every grain of sand and every flash of color, every hint of flavor in a wine, keeping all these things in existence every microsecond. We could not literally approach God or get nearer to God, for God is already nearer to us than we are to ourselves. God is at the ultimate depth of our beings, making us to be ourselves. Ah, God.
God is not like David Ben-Liar says, God is not a demiurge, right? But God is actually the possibility that any. So if the devil, if principalities and powers exist, God is the substance. God is the possibility of their existence.
Yeah.
God is the framework in which anything exists, God is all in all. He's above all, through all, and in us all. Mm. To him be glory and dominion for ages and ages. Amen.
Peace out, guys.
God bless
Please
you.
Please grab your copy of Inspired by Rachel.
Thank you for tuning in to today's episode of The Barman's Barbecue. We hope we are able to provide some answers while raising more questions. It was a pleasure sharing this roasted lamb with you. Remember to rate this podcast, subscribe, and invite your friends to this feast. We love you!